I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Today I have a very short, but I think I find it very interesting. So I'm going to share with you a short and very interesting message. Amen. 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 I want to share with you a message that I have titled Relationship Lessons from Joseph and Mary. Relationship Lessons from Joseph and Mary. Amen. You're going to need to take down some notes or memorize a whole lot. Amen. But I believe that Joseph and Mary provide for us a very good example of how to relate with someone you love. Amen. Falling in love is the commonest thing that happens to people. People more commonly fall in love than many other things that happen to people. But it is also the phenomenon that brings out the worst in us sometimes. And sometimes it's amazing to see how people who once claimed to love one another, you know, behave towards each other when the love goes sour, you know. And I believe that if we follow Joseph and Mary, we will have better relationships, better marriages, and generally be happier people. Say amen. Amen. Right. So number one, well, Matthew chapter 1 is where we're reading. Matthew chapter 1. So let's read Matthew chapter 1 and from verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." That means this is how it happened. Okay. So the birth on Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so number one lesson we learn from Joseph and Mary, about relationships is that purity is important. Amen. Number one, purity is important. Hallelujah. Well, we read from verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Amen. So obviously, the Bible is telling us that Mary and Joseph did have a relationship that was pure. Amen. What I mean by pure, or what the Bible seems to be implying right here, is that the two of them did not engage in any premarital relations. Hallelujah. And that is a very important element in having a relationship that has a future. Amen. It says, Mary and Joseph, he says, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You know, now the concept of virginity to the story, the Christmas story, is a very important one, because as you can see down the line, the Bible says they were actually fulfilling a prophecy. Verse 23, it says the prophecy, well, verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child." Amen. So it's not a case of, you know, two people who were together and then suddenly, I mean, just generally having what they call fun, and then eventually Joseph suddenly realizing that Mary is pregnant, and then they having an argument about whose pregnancy and who is the father, and all that confusion that happens because of the way relationships are practiced today. Do you see? So Joseph, as you can see, even the fact that he took a decision to put her away means that Joseph was sure that this baby is not mine. And the reason why he was so sure that the baby was not his was because the Bible says it was before they came together. Do you get it? Now, down the line, the story refers to him even as a husband. So all the way up to that time, you know, Joseph had been with her and had not touched her. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is possible to have a relationship that is above board, a relationship that respects and values purity. Can I have an amen? Amen. See, the Bible says that fornication is not only a sin against God, it's a sin against your body.
That's right.
1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. The Bible says, flee fornication. Can you see that? It says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. Right? Then it says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, what I want you to notice in this verse is how it says that you sin against your body. That an act of fornication is an act against your body. That means it's not on the same side as what your body requires. You see, contrary to what we think that fornication is an act for the body, that it is an act to fulfill the desires of the body. It is an act to make the body happy. But rather, the Bible says it is against the body. That means it's an act that hurts the body. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's not when you're against something, it means you're not on the same side. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're not. If Hillary Clinton is running against Donald Trump, it means she's not about to cast a vote for Donald Trump at all. It means that she is on the other side. It's opposite to what the body wants. Can I have an amen? And we have to be careful. You see, the Bible says also, Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2. It says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is falling, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Amen. Now, there's so many things going on there, but you just pick just one of them, which says the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And it says it is one of the causes of Babylon becoming a habitation of devils. Hallelujah. That it is indeed true that there is transference of spirits when people engage in premarital relations, sexual relations. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That, I mean, you just imagine, it is actually sexual relations that creates a human being with a spirit. Wow. Think about that. That two people get together sexually and then they give birth to something that has a spirit. And definitely, I mean, you shouldn't doubt that a human being does have a spirit, because when a human being dies, you still have everything without function, isn't it? Yeah. You still have everything without life. You still have the hand, it just can't move. You still have the eyes, it just can't see. You still have the ears, it just can't hear. So what went wrong? Something obviously left the thing. That something came into it at some point after a sexual relationship. Do you see what I'm saying? So I don't know exactly how that happens and when it happens. But what I'm saying is that something that can create a human being with a spirit, you shouldn't be surprised that it transfers a spirit to someone. I mean, are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just the scriptures we're looking at. Amen. So I want to encourage you as we go into a new year, that let it be a year of purity. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? Let it be a year of self-control. You notice in verse 25, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25, this is after an angel had spoken to Joseph. The Bible says Joseph knew her not. You see, that knew her is actually an old way of saying Joseph did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to the baby. That is self-control. Hallelujah. We can have self-control in relationships. We can control ourselves by controlling our environments, controlling what we watch, controlling where we go, controlling how we run our relationships so that we can keep it pure. Hallelujah. God is pleased with a pure relationship. And who knows? The prophecy said that a virgin shall be with child. So it means God was hunting for a virgin. That's the prophecy that must be fulfilled, is that it's not a good Christian woman shall be with child. It's not a good lady shall be with child. It's not someone who has been raised properly will be with child. But it's a virgin. That means the attraction of Mary to God. The reason why God chose her, one of the elements was the fact that she was pure and had respected her purity. And also not just Mary, because you see, it takes more than Mary to have a virgin birth. You also need Joseph, who is not hounding Mary all the time. You see what I'm saying? Who is not trying to push Mary all the time? Who is not saying to Mary that if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you see what I'm saying? You need a Joseph who is not telling Mary that what is my Christmas present? You know? You need a Joseph who is not saying to Mary, another shirt, another sweater, look, this must be a this Christmas, I want to have an experience. I don't want a gift. I don't want an article. I don't want you to give me something. I need to feel something. I need to feel some love. This is a Christmas of feelings. You need a Joseph who has such great and high respect for purity that he respects Mary's decision to stay pure until they get married. Can I have an amen? So that is the first lesson that we learn from Joseph and Mary this Christmas. Amen. Number two, the second lesson that we can learn from Mary and Joseph is that there is no need to destroy each other when a relationship fails. That there is no need to destroy each other when a relationship fails. Amen. Verse 19 says, then Joseph, being her husband, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Hallelujah. Now, Joseph was obviously at this point very heartbroken. The person that he loved and the person he was hoping to spend the rest of his life with had, or at least as it appeared to him at that point, she had been with somebody else, and, you know, she was now pregnant with somebody else's baby. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, he was really heartbroken, offended, you know. Now, according to Matthew chapter 24, when people are offended, that's when they betray one another. The Bible says in the last days, it says, men shall become offended and betray one another. The truth is that when people are heartbroken and when people are hurt, they reach down into the most malicious part of themselves. You know, and they want to get even with the person, and they get really bitter and try to do something that will really hurt, something that will really destroy, and something that will really ruin another person's life. There is no need to ruin somebody's life just because they didn't marry you, or that you didn't marry them, or that you married them and the relationship didn't work out. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is no need at all. The Bible says what a just man does. Joseph, being a just man, and he was not willing to make her a public example. He was sure that he didn't want to continue with this relationship. That he was sure about. And he was determined to break up the relationship. Because some relationships, you know, just take a turn where it just has to come to an end. You know, and they just, the two probably discover, you know, excuse me, I'm really struggling with this thing, but it's okay. It's all right. You know, just ignore it. If I touch it, just ignore it. You know, I'm just trying to make it work. Amen. But I'm just saying that the way relationships go, they don't always end up in a marriage. They don't always end up where we expected to end up, you know. And even marriages, you see that sometimes things happen and then people just end up having to separate. See, Moses, the Bible says some people asked Jesus Christ, is it right to divorce? And Jesus said, have you not read what the scripture says that at the beginning he made them male and female, etc.? And the people asked Jesus Christ, so then why did Moses introduce the concept of divorce and giving people a divorce certificate and so on? And then Jesus explained that Moses had to do something because of the hardness of your hearts. Yeah, because of your hard hearts. In other words, the person, you know, sometimes people are so impossible and so difficult, will not listen to anyone, will not do as they are told, will not obey the word of God. It just has to end up that way. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then he said from the beginning, it was not so. God didn't intend that it be so, but rather that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That was his plan. But you see that there are some people who are just impossible to live with. They're just impossible. Now try to understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's okay to divorce or don't even take me there. I'm just trying to share with you some 3 or 4 points from Joseph. I'm not going into that whole argument. I'm just trying to explain that sometimes it comes to an end. Are you getting it? Whether it should or not, I don't think this is the place for it. But I'm just saying that sometimes the circumstances cause it to come to an end. Because people are so difficult. People will not obey the word of God. People will not listen to the Bible. They will choose how they feel over what the Bible says. Everybody who is in a relationship will come to a point where you have to make a choice between what you feel like doing and what the Bible says you should do. But what happens is that most people, when they come to that junction, they choose what they feel like doing over what the Bible says they should do. Because what the Bible is saying often goes against everything in them. And at that point, you know, your feelings of malice and everything have arisen. You are just full of revenge. The other day, I heard about someone who was in a relationship with another person, and then they broke up. Now that person, you know, while they were in the relationship, they were engaged in all sorts of sexual, you know, arrangements and things, you know. So, and they took photographs of them. Right. Now, this fellow had all these photographs. So then he breaks up with this person and then creates a website somewhere on the internet and then splashes the website with all these photographs. Why would you do something like that just because you're breaking up with someone? Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And I want to say to people also that you have to be careful. These days, everybody has a camera. Everyone is taking photographs. And not only do people take photographs more easily these days, people share photographs more easily these days. I mean, people share photographs as though they're sharing what? Candies. Yeah. Someone goes to the bathroom, takes a photo of himself, herself, and then just sends it off to another person. And this person has no commitment to you. This person has no, you don't even know if you're going to be together. And the person has the most intimate photographs of you, you know. Then one day, these photographs, which were a love gift at the time they were given, will turn into a hatred weapon when the relationship goes south. And that's what the person uses to destroy and to ruin another person's life. And it's an evil thing. It's an evil thing that you would ruin something just because you can't have it. You see what I'm saying? That's what the scripture says about the church even, that it is a mistake. It said it's the wrong thing for you to enjoy and drink the waters in a church that has blessed you. And then one day when you're upset and you leave the church, you foul the waters, you know, you remove your clothes and you wee-wee into the same water that others are trying to drink just because you are upset with it. Have you seen that verse before? Maybe I should show it to you real quick since we're talking about it. Are you learning something from this little Joseph message I'm sharing with you? Right? The verse is Ezekiel. Ezekiel, you know, 34 and verse 18. It says, "Seemeth it a small thing unto you?" Is it a small thing unto you? "Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk," right? It says, "and to have drunk," I'm sorry, I just lost the verse. Okay, here it is. "And to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet," right? This is what some people were doing. And God is saying, is it a small thing to you? Is it a small thing to you that you would eat up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of the pastures? That's whatever is left over. Should you tread it down, and then you have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet? That means to drink the waters and use them to quench your thirst. And when you don't need it anymore, you start to foul it. You start to make it impossible for others to benefit from it. And that's what people do in relationships. That when it doesn't work out for them, then they take on the personal responsibility of destroying the person and ruining the person's life, making sure that the next person does not have a good relationship with the person. But if you can accept that not everybody was created for you.
Amen.
And sometimes it is your blessing to have discovered ahead of time that this one is not for me.
Wow.
When you discover that someone is not for you, please leave them alone.
Right.
You see, and be like Joseph. Joseph said, I'm going to leave her alone. And I'm going to do it in a most dignified way to preserve her integrity, to make sure that someone else, because someone, maybe you don't like, you, she's too loud for you. Too loud. Too sharp-tongued for you. Well, you don't know that there are some dull, quiet people who appreciate sharpness and loudness. There are some people who like someone who can talk. There are some people who appreciate someone who has something to say about everything and will say it quickly, uninvited. You know, they will just speak. There are some people who like that. You see, because they themselves cannot make up a conversation. They're always quiet and they don't know what to say. What is your name? And you mention the name, he'll mention his name, and then there's silence. Where do you live? Okay, I live in Pasadena. Oh, really? Okay. I also live. Then that's, it's finished. We don't know what to say next. So I ask, do you have a dog? You know, and you say, yes, I have a dog. Oh, okay, what color? It's brown. Why is it not black? Because we're trying to make a conversation. And then after you explain why the dog is not black, because I don't like black dogs, then it's finished. Nobody knows what to say next. So when someone meets somebody else who seems to take charge and drive the conversation and take it through places and help them answer questions, because there are people who bring things out of you that you didn't even know were there. You know, they ask you questions that force you to think up answers that you actually hadn't thought about before. So you shouldn't be surprised that the person falls in love with this person that you say is too loud. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So if you have to break up a relationship, just do it with dignity. Amen.
Amen.
Do it the way Joseph was planning to do it. Joseph said, I'm going to break up the relationship, but the whole world is not going to know about it. It's not going on Facebook for sure. There is not going to be any lamentations post. I'm not going to compose a long poem. You know, some people, they break up in style, I tell you. They'll write a long poem and post it on their Facebook page. And without mentioning anybody's name, when you read the poem, you just know, you know? Yeah. They record a song and they put it on Facebook. It must have been love, but it's over now. It must have been good, but I lost it somehow. You know, then you put it, you put something down there and you say, thing for you, never lost. Hashtag thing for you, never lost. You know, things like that. And you have everybody thinking and asking what is wrong and what is going on. It's not a good thing. Say amen.
Amen.
So let's learn that from Joseph. Amen. You have time for another one? Okay, the number three is don't make hasty decisions. Do not make hasty decisions, both before and during marriage. Amen. Now, verse 19 says, Joseph, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, right? Then verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, so Joseph took a decision, and I'm sure all of us understand Joseph. You probably may have taken a similar decision if you were in Joseph's shoes. But right there, the Bible says, while he thought on these things, means he took the decision, but he was still pondering before execution. Do you understand? Now, sometimes that little phase between taking a decision and executing it is where your salvation from a wrong decision lies. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Which is that when he decided, he didn't act immediately. He said, let me just think this through. Let me run it by a few people. Let me pray about it. Let me see. Let's give it some time. Hallelujah. That is how Joseph saved a beautiful relationship. I am sure that Joseph was really glad he did. Do you see what I'm saying? The thing is that sometimes we are hasty and too quick to take decisions concerning relationships. Both decisions to enter the relationship and decisions to exit it. The decision to enter a relationship sometimes is too quick. And then the decision to exit a relationship is often equally quick. You see, now what it is that when you like someone, liking someone does not mean that, or necessarily mean that you can live with that person the rest of your life. See, there are a lot of people in your life that you like, that you're not living with. Is it not true? So the rule is not like and take, that anyone you like belongs to you. That's not the rule. There are some people, you like them, they will make great friends, but not a relationship. Not someone that you're going to stay with in that kind of way. Hallelujah. So don't be hasty. There is no rush. Take your time. Hallelujah. I mean, when I met my wife, beloved, I knew her for quite a while. Long time, you know. I mean, long time without saying anything, you know. And I knew she liked me, you know. And you have to be a child not to know when someone likes you. Yeah. Yeah, even children know it when you like them. That's why when they look at you, then they raise up their hands. It's like, you can have me if you want. You know, that's what makes you lift up a child. Do you see? So, I mean, going around up and down in the church, doing different things, you kind of get a good feeling that, you know, there's some warmth here. You see? But warmth doesn't mean you should just talk. Because sometimes you haven't seen enough. You see what I'm saying? So what some people do is that with the first sign of warmth, they just commit. Do you see? Then soon you realize, listen, I've committed to more than... Because every cow doesn't just come with milk, also dung. You have to be with the cow enough to experience, long enough to experience the cow dung. You see what I'm saying? And decide that I still want to have this cow because the milk is still great. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's important to be with people. It's important to relate with people. It's important to allow time before you commit, before you say, yes, this is for me. And when you commit, you should know that you are making a commitment that you're going to keep. You can't go around just promising everybody you're going to marry them and breaking up after 2 months. And then everybody you meet just before. You see, I met somebody who told me that he breaks up with his girlfriends every time before Christmas and before Valentine's Day. Because that's the most expensive part of the relationship. So, you see the thing. Yeah. Now, if you commit to such a person, you commit to such a person around March, you don't know that you'll be gone by November. You see what I'm saying? You have to allow the cycle to run a little bit before you commit. You have to know people before you commit to being with them the rest of your life. Hallelujah. And then I said, you shouldn't be hasty also to exit the relationship. Because all relationships hit bumps at some point. Hallelujah. I have been around, traveled around to places, and I realized no matter how developed a country is, there are still bumps in the roads. And I realized that bumps are actually a part of life. You see, some places have bumps, you know, as a permanent feature, wild bumps that can, you know, change your life. But I realized there is no place where the roads don't have bumps in them. Even sometimes the bumps are necessary. You know, like you go around some of the places where the train goes and so on. You need to have bumps there because the train is underneath there. They need to get in there to work on the electricity. They need to do so many different things. And so bumps are a part of life. If you're traveling through life, if you're on a journey to anywhere meaningful, you're going to have bumps. The only people that don't experience the bumps in the road are the ones who don't go anywhere, the ones who don't leave their homes. But once you leave your house to go to any place meaningful, you will soon encounter bumps. So bumps by themselves do not mean that you're in a wrong relationship. It just means that you're going to resolve them. Why do you think Jesus taught us about forgiveness? What are we going to use it for? What is the use of the Christian virtue of forgiveness? Think about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. These are the nice ones. Then after that, patience, long-suffering, temperance, which all have to do with tolerating nonsense. And tolerating them for a long time. Amen. So you realize that relationships come with this sort of thing. They come with a lot of junk. They come with a lot of things you didn't think you were getting. But most good things come like that. Most good things have a part to them that you didn't ask for. But you just have to learn how to manage them so you can have what they bring. You see what I'm saying? If you buy anything beautiful, it comes likely in a packaging that you didn't really ask for. What you want is what is inside. But you need to learn how to deal with that packaging, because if you manage it well, you know, you can still have what is inside and not ruin your life because of the packaging. Are you getting what I'm saying? One of the things I enjoy eating is corn on the cob. And corn on the cob comes often in some packaging that you don't desire. When you buy it, what you really want is inside. And you have to peel off a number of things to get what you really want. You see? And so everybody who is going to have a good relationship and a meaningful relationship must learn how to peel off the things they don't desire and manage them and set them aside and keep themselves focused on what they were trying to get. And if you do that, you're going to have a meaningful relationship. Say amen. Amen. So do not take hasty decisions. Hallelujah. Number four is that Joseph listened to counsel. Joseph listened to counsel. Because the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spoke to him. What verse is that? Angel of the Lord. Let me just find it real quick. Matthew. I'm just about to finish, so please bear with me. Okay? Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, isn't it? Right. Now it says, he decided to pray about it, and then in the night, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord spoke to him in a dream, isn't it? Right? Angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Then jump to verse 24. It says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Amen. He did as the Lord spoke to him. You know, he had a different mind. Then the angel of the Lord came to counsel him otherwise. The angel of the Lord told him to do the exact opposite of what he was trying to do. See, the Bible says, look at it here. It says, the angel said, fear not to take her, because Joseph at that point was afraid. He's, you know, somebody in the neighborhood gave him a proverb. It said, fear woman and live long. You see, so Joseph was living by this proverb and was just saying, fear woman. He was afraid that, hey, if I marry such a person, what is going to happen? Do you see? And he had all sorts of misgivings about her. Then the angel of the Lord came to him and said, look, it's not as you think it is. Because really, a lot of things are not as they appear. The truth is, a lot of things are misrepresented in their presentation. They are not as they appear. And the angel of the Lord counseled him. And when he got up, he said, no, I can be spoken to. I can be counseled. See, there are some of us who are living a dangerous life. Dangerous life because no one can talk to you. Because every idea you have in your head is better than any idea from anybody else. You have such a loyalty to your ideas that they are guaranteed to destroy you. You love your ideas. You love your thoughts. You love your beliefs. That if your beliefs begin to destroy you, there will be no remedy for you. No one can help you because you wouldn't listen to anybody. Even when someone has a different view, so you only listen to people who agree with what you have already decided. Yeah, people who agree with you. You know, I'm going to break up the relationship and you meet another person who is also trying to, you know, break up. Yeah, that makes two of us. That's in their mind. And the person says, yeah, yeah, break up, break up. Show your powers. You see, and then you start to flow. And when you meet someone who tells you, take your time, you say, no. Such a person, you don't understand. You don't understand. This is how people shut people off. By telling them, you don't understand. You don't understand. You are not in the situation. It's my life. It's my situation. I'm the one in. And so, no, you will not even listen to counsel. You will not even seek it. Hallelujah. And let me qualify that by saying godly counsel. Because it's the angel of the Lord who spoke to Joseph. And Joseph said, you know, if you have spoken, I believe it. He woke up from his dream and he decided. He went to Mary. He said, you know something, that text message I sent you yesterday, discard it. Can you delete it? He asked Mary, can I have your phone, please? Mary gave him the phone. Joseph goes through the phone and then he takes the message and then he deletes it. He said, I never sent it. This relationship is on. We're still on, right? When is the baby due? I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for the baby. I'm going to be there. We're going to win this battle together. And because he had been counseled, somebody had talked to him and he had decided that I'm going to listen. You see, let me tell you something. Do yourself a favor. Listen to good, godly counsel. Listen to godly counsel. When someone gives you counsel, especially if they can back it with a verse. You see, I don't like listening to people who just talk by their feelings. Do you understand? Like there was one person who was trying to pressure her husband to leave his church, you know, and she said, I don't feel it's the right church. And I told the husband, go and tell her to just bring the scriptures. She should look in the Bible and just tell us what things the church is doing wrong. And then use that to say, leave the church. You know, you don't just get up and by feel, just because you feel. Your feelings are the worst part of you. The least part, the least trustworthy, maybe, part of you. Something that can change in the morning and then change in the afternoon. Even in the room where everybody is feeling hot, you can be feeling cold. How can you trust such feelings? Listen to counsel. Amen. If someone can bring scriptures, let ask people, where is the verse? Show it to me in the Bible. Show it to me in the Bible. Don't allow your life to be guided by some carnal person who never reads the Bible, who is not spiritual, never prays. They will lead you only into a ditch. Amen. And leave you in the ditch. If they would even tow you out, that would help. But they would just leave you there. And they will just say, well, it's just bad luck. Listen to counsel. Amen. Look at these scriptures real quick before we close. It says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. Can you see that? Every purpose, whatever you're trying to do, it is established by what? Counsel. Then it says, and with good advice, make war. So you can see that it's a war, isn't it? Life is a war and relationships are a war. They are a war. Life is a war and relationships are a war. I mean, a man and a woman trying to get together, you are bound to clash. Because we are not the same. Do you see? We are not the same. We are not created the same way. We are both human beings, but we are not the same. And that's why the world deceives the whole world. When you start to fight for equality and you start to stretch it beyond where it should be, you know, then you are now running into confusion. You're trying to make things the same, which are not the same. Are you getting what I'm saying? Which leads to a lot of abuse. It leads to a lot of abuse. Because if you treat a plastic cup the way you treat a glass, because they are the same, they are both containers, one of them is going to break and the other one is still going to be around for a long time. The other one is still... You see, if you just go by what they have in common and say that they both contain juices, they both are containers, so they must be treated the same. So you take the glass and you toss it because you just tossed the cup, the plastic cup also. Equal treatment. One of them is going to land onto the ground and never get up again. And another one is going to land on the ground, get up and just go continue serving. We must not treat the two are not the same. You have to accept it. Amen. That doesn't mean that one is inferior. That's not what we're talking about. We're just saying that they're different. And we have to respect the difference and treat them with dignity and respect for the difference. Amen. So it says, with good advice, make war. Amen. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Well, maybe do 11 first. 11 and verse 14. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety or what? Security. Amen. It says, where no counsel is, people fall. Good people fall because they didn't have good counsel. I dare say that many people have let many good people go because they didn't get any counsel. They didn't get any good counsel. Because when you look and you pick and you pick and you pick and you search and you pick and you pick and you pick, you know, sometimes you end up just picking the worst thing. The very thing you were trying to avoid is what you actually get. Because you are too picky and you are too complicated and too complex and you are working without counsel. Hallelujah. So it says people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is security when you listen to counsel. Hallelujah. Then the last one is Proverbs 12 and verse 15. It says, this one is interesting. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You get it? It's only a foolish person who thinks that what they have in their head is what is right. And that's what it is. But he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. So wisdom is to listen. Amen. Wisdom is to listen to someone. Wisdom is to look up to someone and listen to the person. Especially someone who has a track record of giving good counsel. Amen. So if you find someone who has a track record of giving good counsel, you must listen to them. Don't look at someone who has wrecked their lives and who is trying to counsel you. It's amazing that when it comes to counsel, we really don't even look at who is telling us what. You see what I'm saying? But counsel has to be backed by a track record of good counsel. Counsel that has been lived and practiced even by the person who is giving it. Can I have an amen? Amen? Then the final point for today, number 5, is staying spiritual in a relationship. You must stay spiritual. You can see that Joseph was a very spiritual person. Joseph was someone who believed in dreams. He was someone who had visions. When you read on, you see how the angel of the Lord kept directing them, you know, by dreams and visions and dreams and visions. It shows that Joseph was practicing his relationship in a context of spirituality. Amen. These days, we have relationships that are anything but spiritual. our relationships are practiced more in the context of carnality and worldliness than they are in the context of spirituality. Now, imagine that each of them is a pipe feeding the relationship. If your worldly pipe supplies more to the relationship than your spiritual pipe, then your relationship is more likely to be worldly than spiritual. You see, now, when it has worldly standards, you might actually end up breaking up and destroying it, thinking that you were right, but only because you were worldly. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. These days, people like to have someone, you see, even some Christians who mock and laugh at Christian brothers who wouldn't take them out to a restaurant, who wouldn't take them out to a place where unbelievers have gathered with a lot of unbeliever music being played with dark lights and everything just in the mood being right and so on. And they mock such people. They just mock them and just feel that, no, I mean, are we going to make it just church, 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 church? It is true that we are not always praying, that there's more to human existence than prayer. Do you understand? But your relationship is safer if the context of practicing it is spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you build your relationship around and revolve it around church, it is more likely to help your relationship than letting your relationship revolve around Starbucks and revolving around all kinds of restaurants and different places, you know. And it's like the good brother is the one who can take you to such places. The good brother is the one who knows, you know, nice places to take you and to make you happy and so on and so forth, you know. And most of these places are just crowded with unbelievers, just filled with a lot of people who don't know God, a lot of people. The music in the place even is not music that is intended to make you spiritual or anything. It's just an atmosphere. When you leave that atmosphere, everybody there has his hand on some lady's butt and they are just walking around. When you leave that place, you don't know what to do with your hands. Yeah, because everybody is doing something with their hands. They have a lady and then their hands. Now, you have a lady and you have hands, but you don't know what to do with them. You see, and these kinds of places that belittle you and make you feel, you know, put pressure on your Christian life and make you have to pray. Even you can't pray over food before you eat it. You cannot even pray. Meanwhile, the true you prays over food. The true you is a Christian who believes in prayer. You must sanctify your food and give thanks for it before you eat it. But where you have gone, praying makes you look awkward. But we celebrate our relationships in such environments, parties and so on, instead of letting our relationships revolve around church, revolve around spirituality and things that are spiritual. You know, when I was in the relationship, most of the time I met my wife in my beloved in church. Yeah. That was mostly, yeah. And then after church, you know, it's a long day. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it starts in church. Then after church, you know, it ends up in the hall of residence, and then some lunch. Poor girl, little girl, she has come to school. Her parents have given her small money to come and look after herself. She's using it to cook for her brother. Can you imagine that? You know. And she'll make all kinds of food. She'll fry different kinds of things, and I'll just be eating and just be happy. But it starts with church.
That's right.
You know, it starts with church. And so the tone is spiritual. And that is how it must be. Amen. Don't be an unbeliever. You see, let me show you this verse finally before we go. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. You notice how the whole marriage thing is interwoven with church. You see, look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Real quick, please. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Do you see? So you see, if you're trying to get a husband, you're trying to get a husband or trying to become a husband, you know, you need to be familiar with Christ and you need to be familiar with the church. Isn't that what it says?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved it. You need to know Christ. You need to be familiar with church to know how Christ loves the church. Do you see? and gave himself for it that he might sanctify himself and so on. Now, where's the part that says wives submit? Where's that one? Verse 22, I think. Verse 22. Is there verse 22? It says wives. Can you see that? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So again, you can see that the Lord, wife, then the Lord is right there. You see, then next one, verse 23. Then it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So now this wife, I mean, for her to understand this concept, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. And then the next verse, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ. So woe to you if you have a wife or someone you're trying to get married to who is not the church type. Wow. She won't get it. She'll call this submission cheating. Yeah. And that's how you're going to ruin your marriage. He says, as the church, you know, is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, let me ask you, do we as a church feel cheated by Christ? Yeah, we don't feel cheated at all. Anything Christ says, we are more than happy to do it. We are more than happy to do it. Even if we can't do it properly, we are more apologetic about it. We are praying always for forgiveness and asking him for grace to help us. But as for what he's asking us to do, we have never challenged it. We've never come to God and said, why do you say we shouldn't fornicate? But you know, it's not fair. We don't have that attitude in the church. Yeah. Rather, we fall. We fall into fornication and we still come to him and we bow our heads and we say, oh Lord, I'm ashamed. Forgive me. And he forgives us and we move on. You see what I'm saying? So you need to be a church person to be familiar with what is even expected. If you detach yourself from the church, you cannot have a meaningful relationship. And you're going to find a good person. But you see, if you have a good person and you play the rules wrong, you still will mess up a good relationship. So many relationships are destroyed, not because you found a bad person, but it's because you apply the wrong rules to a good person. You see what I'm saying? You have a good person, but the rules that are being used to run the thing, it's like you're driving your car like a motorbike. You see, if you drive like your car like a motorbike, if you know anything about a motorbike, on a motorbike, the clutch is in the hand. In a car, the clutch is on the foot. You see what I'm saying? On a motorbike, the gear is by the foot. And in a car, the gear is in your hand. So now you get into your car and you say, because you can ride a motorbike, you apply the rules to. And you see your car doesn't move. Meanwhile, it's a brand new. You have your brand new Honda Pilot. It won't move. And you say you bought an evil car. It's a demon-possessed car. It's a car that was not meant for you to have. This car, you see, this is what you are talking about. You said that the witches in your village, they have chased you and they have come also to America to come and destroy your car. But the problem is not witches or anything. You are just applying the wrong rules. You are trying to use motorbike rules to drive your Honda Pilot. That's why it won't move. So next you put for sale on the car. You are selling it. You're breaking up this relationship. You don't want to be here. Yeah. And you will sell that car off to someone who will catch a blessing. You see, and because of your frustration, you sell it for cheap. And the person receives it, makes the sign of the cross, and goes to give testimony in his church that your foolishness has blessed them. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? Let's be spiritual. Amen. Let's be spiritual. Spirituality, the Bible says, godliness, the Bible says, it has benefit for the life that now is and the life which is to come. Yeah. It will benefit you when we go to heaven and it will benefit you while we are here on earth. Hallelujah. So be spiritual. Love God. Love the church. Love the Bible. Love the word of God. Love preaching. You don't have anything to lose. You will become a better person. Rather, the person to watch out for is the one who is always making excuses around these things and does not like these things and is trying to pull you out of these things and yet is sending you into marriage. The person is trying to take you this way but is stripping you of all the tools you need to make it on this journey. They are the persons you should watch out for because you are actually signing up for frustration. You're signing up for someone with wrong understanding. You're signing up to live with and to pair up with someone whose understanding about what you're trying to do is totally warped, and the person is going to be a source of frustration to you. Can I have an amen? I believe that the word of God is true, and I think enough of it has been preached today. So please stand to your feet and let us, amen. Hallelujah. Right, just bow your heads, everybody, please. Just bow your heads and let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to you on this Christmas morning for your word. Thank you for opening our eyes to wisdom from the lives of Joseph and Mary. We pray, Lord, that you will help us walk in the truth and walk in the word. And be like Joseph and be like Mary. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. As we close the service today, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, on this Christmas day, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to start a new relationship with God. I want to start a new walk with God today. I just want to give you that opportunity to pray a meaningful prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life, come into your heart. Just pray that prayer right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You want to pray for that relationship. Those of you in relationships, those of you contemplating relationships, those of you preparing for relationships, pray that God will help you choose right, will guide you. God will help you. Pray, make a commitment and say, Lord, I'm going to live by your rules. I'm going to live by your word. Pray that God will help you stay pure. Because when it comes to purity, if you can repent of the past remains the past. And there is a new virginity that starts from the point of repentance. That starts because the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you're not condemned. You get to start afresh and you get to begin a new walk this Christmas day 2016. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Everybody join me as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus,
Jesus,
thank you for coming into the world.
Thank you for coming into the world
to save someone like me.
To save someone like me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for caring about me.
Thank you for caring about me.
I come to you today, Lord.
I come to you today, Lord.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I want to live for you.
I want to live for you.
In the coming year.
In the coming year.
I want to live for you.
I want
for you. I want my life to be a picture of you.
I want my life to be a picture of you.
I want my life to be a picture of you.
I want my life to be a picture of you.
Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and live that life through me.
And live that life through me.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my
and
heart.
And live that life through me.
And live that life through me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For your blessing.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Amen.